there are many places across the world where there aren't access to specialists, or there aren't access to people who have the knowledge to be able to say, you know what, you may need to go for ECG or 2D echo and see what's going on. But there's not that access, and there's not that resources everywhere around the world. And that's a real problem.
Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Kaiser. Our mission is to discuss practical insights and share knowledge on how to navigate the transformative technology of AI. It's important to understand how AI can be used safely and ethically while revolutionizing patient care, streamlining operations, and enhancing medical research. Today, we have a very interesting and special guest on the Business of AI in Healthcare. And I'm hesitant to tell you all about this person and all the success they've had, and then tell you that he is 15 years old. So it's my great honor here today to introduce Siddharth Nandiala, entrepreneur, CEO, incredible business guy at the age of 15. Siddharth, welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Babalu. And before we get started, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. I'm so happy to be part of the podcast, and I'm excited to get things rolling.
It's pretty interesting here. I think it's important. The whole purpose of our podcast is to reveal problems and how we solve them and some of the things that we're trying to do. And quite often we think that you've got to have a PhD and you have to be leading an enterprise of thousands of people and making big splashes out there. But I wanted to make sure that our audience understands that there's another dimension to the technology that's floating around this whole concept of AI. And to find someone like you who has been successful at what you're doing, we're going to talk about your success. We're going to talk about the problem you're trying to solve. And we're going to try to help people understand how someone who's young and innovative can make a big difference in moving this whole thing forward. So I know, Siddharth, you've been a celebrity of sorts, okay, at a young age. I think you were on Good Morning America, right?
Yes, I was a couple of years ago.
Tell us about that. How did that happen? How old were you then when you went on Good Morning America?
I believe I was 12. I don't remember exactly, but I believe I was 12.
12 years old. And so technology-wise, I'm always curious about what kind of technology people know and how do they get into it and how do things get started. And I understand that you come from a family of entrepreneurs. Your father, Mahesh, is an AI startup entrepreneur, very successful. And your mother, she was in the jewelry business. Srilatha, that's her name, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, she's in the jewelry business, but at a very young age, something happened. She introduced you into technology. Tell us the story of how that happened.
Yeah, so it really began my expedition, I'd say, into the field of technology was when I was just 7 years old. She got me one of those Lego STEM kits, and she showed me how to put it all together. And really, it was like a small rover that we built using the Legos, and how to make it, when you press a few buttons, it would move across the table. And that was just exciting. It was a light bulb moment because I really saw the power of technology. I saw how what you dream, you can make. And I think that's really what I love. I love to build on my own realities, bring my dreams and my visions into something real and tangible. And just witnessing how technology is a mode to get there, is a mode to bring this to reality, to somewhere, some way to create what you dream into something real. It was exciting. It was revelating. And I think that's really why I got into the field itself. That moment really, it sparked interest into technology and coding and the next generation of development.
So did that get you going in STEM, STEM?
Yes, that is correct. So that's how I began my journey into science, technology, engineering, and math, which is STEM. So that's really how I began going into there. And then from there, I continued to develop my skills. I started a couple of startups, and that's where we are today.
So you're 7 years old when this all started. Today, you're 15 years old, and you're a student. Now, I remember when I was 15 years old, I wasn't in college yet, and you are. So tell me about your college intentions right now, where you're going to school and what you're trying to learn.
Yeah, so I'm currently a freshman at the University of Texas in Dallas. I'm looking to go into the path of artificial intelligence, and that's really my dream. And that's where I am right now. I'm looking to continue my learning in technology and coding and development. And I hope to take this to a further level. With the knowledge I was able to gain today, I was able to build various technologies and various other tools that can potentially save people's lives or detect cardiovascular disease early. With access to more opportunities, access to more knowledge, and access to more valuable resources that can help me to bring these to larger scales or even have the learnings to create even more, I think it really opens doors of possibilities and innovation.
There was a famous TV show called Young Sheldon. It talked about an exceptionally bright young man and socially very awkward, trying to fit into the adult world and things like that. I don't imagine that you experienced things like that. You seem to be more mature for your years. Do you fit in nicely with your cohorts over there at the university at the freshman level?
Yeah, I think they're a very inclusive campus. I really love the experience of being in a university. I've made a lot of friends, a lot of new memories, but I really am enjoying the process. And I'm just trying to absorb everything I can get, learn through every opportunity, and take every chance.
Okay. So let's get into the discussion of business a little bit here, because this is the business of AI in healthcare. And if I understand things, you started with these STEM kits. You got these kits and you started to get them out into the world. Tell us a little bit about that story and where it led into what you're doing now, the problem that you're solving now. So warm us up to the problem, but give us a little background on the STEM kits that you did.
Yeah, so my first startup, STEMIT, was in regards to building these skills for the next generation of youth into the field of technology. I myself faced a challenge of finding the right resources, finding the right learning opportunities to be able to gain access to the world of coding and the world of technology. Because in the age of information, in the digital world that we are in right now, I think we have an abundance of knowledge, but however, it can be difficult to condense that into finding the right path or the right learning opportunities, like the right learning perspectives and views that you have to follow to be able to gain real tangible skills. And that's what STEMIT essentially focused on doing. We developed not only STEM kits, but we also worked on skilling for students to learn artificial intelligence, learn how to interface with machine learning and various others. So we tried to build those real skills that are useful and valid in today's world and bring them into a package or some sort of learning system that students can use to gain access and fully understand these at a more comprehensive level.
So who was your audience for all these STEM kits? Were they young people across the world in your neighborhood? Where did you go with this idea?
Yeah, so our audience was very diverse. So we had very young students and we also had college going individuals. We even had people who were already working in the field of IT or in software, and they wanted to upskill themselves into the age of artificial intelligence. So it was very diverse in what we had. We offered many different courses, many different kits and various things like that. So we were essentially helping various audiences in gaining their skills from every walk of their learning journeys. We were helping them to further develop on their own skills in technology.
Okay. So let's get into your current company today. You're a CEO of a company right now. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct. I'm the founder and CEO of Circadian AI.
Okay. What does this company do?
Yeah, so I think now we're getting to the elephant in the room. What Circadian AI does is we're the world's first company that uses cardiovascular oscillations recorded from an iPhone to detect potential heart health abnormalities. So essentially, just by placing your phone on your chest, within 7 seconds of recording, we can detect if a patient has a potential cardiovascular abnormality or not and refer them for further screening.
To me, that sounds pretty interesting. And at the same time, it raises a big question mark. I'm saying, hold on a minute. I've got a 15-year-old guy who seems pretty bright, and he's telling me that he can do the work of what doctors do, who go to medical school for 15 years, and he's going to lay an iPhone on your heart and gather 7 seconds of your heart thumping, and you're going to do something with that. So I'm going to challenge you on that, Siddharth. I'm going to say, hold on a minute. I would think that you need to have some type of trial and testing and a way to prove and validate what you're doing. And you're using AI with this as well? Okay. So go ahead and peel back the layers on this thing for me here and give me a convincing, believable story that this stuff's a real deal.
Yeah, wonderful. So before I go ahead and do talk a little bit about that, I just wanted to address circadian AI in no way is replacing a doctor. What we do is we're a guide or we're a resourceful tool that a nurse or somebody in a primary healthcare center or a medical professional, somebody who knows how to use the tool, is empowered with to be able to detect potential heart health abnormalities. We're a pre-screening tool, a precursor to a ECG or 2D echo, because we're not replacing them in any way. What we do is, because many patients, I think healthcare is extremely reactive, it's not proactive, and that's the real problem. 1/3 of deaths globally are due to cardiovascular abnormalities and cardiovascular issues, and many of which could have been prevented if they had a early detection system rather than the reactive type of healthcare that we live in. So I think that's really what we're trying to do at Circadian AI. We aim to be that pre-screening tool before a 2D echo or a ECG that we use to detect if there could be a potential abnormality and if there is a need to refer for further investigation of what it could be. So we're essentially that tool to detect there could be something wrong. You may want to just go ahead and get that checked. But we are not replacing a doctor in any way or shape or form.
Did you wake up one morning and say, hey, I've got an iPhone. Let me listen to my heartbeat. What was the motivation? What was the channel? What was the direction? Who helped you or what took place to make you think you can make a business out of this? And so I want to hear about the aha moment, if you've got an aha moment here.
Yeah, so I think the main reason why I decided to develop this tool itself was the sheer amount of impact that can be made. I've always been very excited on the potential that artificial intelligence has in shaping not only the world around us or day-to-day, but also things as critical and as crucial as our health. So that's always been something that's keeping me up at night. It's what keeps me excited about what we're building and excited about the future of AI. But I always was very interested in that. When I was in STEM IT itself, I started tinkering myself around with various use cases of artificial intelligence and healthcare and how it can really benefit from a healthcare standpoint, from a medical standpoint, and also in aiding doctors in what they do, because not everywhere has access to the resources that we have, right? And there are many places across the world where there aren't access to specialists or there aren't access to people who have the knowledge to be able to say, you know what, you may need to go for ECG or 2D echo and see what's going on. But there's not that access and there's not that resources everywhere around the world. And that's a real problem, because there's so many people that go every single day without getting the care they need. And that's really what that moment was, that realization that there's a problem out there and it needs to be gapped, it needs to be solved. And that was really the aha moment, I'd say, in developing this tool and bringing it into a reality, which was some way to empower these nurses, these primary healthcare medical team and various others in being able to detect heart health abnormalities, the largest cause of death around the globe.
Quick note from our sponsor, WillCall. WillCall is a hands-free voice-activated call system used today in care facilities across the country, with a home version rolling out in a limited early access phase. It supports people who can't use traditional nurse call buttons, with conditions like ALS, spinal cord injuries, stroke recovery, or advanced Parkinson's. Learn more at willcallnurse.com. Back to the episode.
So you took this out to the rest of the world where there is a demand for this, okay, where people do not have access to this type of treatment or this type of preventative scanning, if you will. And how well has this been used? Did you go through any type of clinical trials? I would think that would be a natural thing and very expensive, very difficult to do. How would you manage to make something like that happen, Sidhar?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think that's very valid that we have to address how we've validated this tool. So we have currently conducted clinical trials, both in the United States and India as well. So what we've done is we created a protocol where we had patients who were screened using our tool. And whenever our tool detected it as abnormal, they were immediately sent for ECG, a 2D echo, and also a doctor analysis. And then from there, we were able to get the confirmatory testing done to evaluate the efficacy and accuracy of our tool, as well as a random sample of healthy patients who are detected as healthy on our side. We're also sent for the same protocol just to make sure that we are getting an overall holistic understanding of the validity of the tool. Additionally, what we did was our patient set that we had for detecting or for testing was comprised of three primary categories, which was patients who were normal or had no pre-existing cardiovascular conditions, patients who were at risk, think diabetes, hypertension, and other things like that could increase the potential risk factor for a cardiovascular abnormality. And then also finally, which are our last subsection of our patients who we screened was comprised of patients who were already detected with cardiovascular abnormalities in the past and had gone through the process of getting that diagnosed or whatever the steps were from there. Yeah. So that was the main composition of the population in our study and also how we conducted it. And we conducted this over thousands and thousands of patients. We validated this in multiple hospitals and multiple testing sites. And that's really how we validated this technology, because in something as critical as healthcare, it's very important that we do have an understanding and a sense of knowledge of where a technology stands in detection, because we want to make sure that something is valid, something is real, and something works before we bring it into real use case and real development.
I'm very impressed that your sample size was thousands of different people with a lot of diversity on it. So as we know, the data that you gather is one of the most important attributes associated with solving these problems. So tell me more about the AI side of this. Now, I know your father, Mahesh, is an AI entrepreneur expert, and he has a lot of relationships with the country of India and represents India here in the United States. And has done a lot of stuff with the state of Texas and other places. And that's opened some doors for you. As far as the AI technology, is this something that you got your fingers involved in? Are you part of the AI technology, or do you use some of the resources that might be extended outward that or connections that you can use?
For sure, yeah. So in regards to our artificial intelligence model, everything has developed by Circadian AI. Nothing is some cookie cutter model that you can get and put in some APIs and really interface with it. Everything that we have is fully custom built for this application. And I have worked on the development myself as well. However, during the entire process of development to testing, to validations and where we are throughout the process, we've had help and guidance from real cardiologists, real doctors in the field who have guided us through every step of the process. And that's really how we've maintained the level of efficiency and the level of efficacy that we have throughout the process. And that's how we've been doing things here so far at Circadian AI. But while I have worked and I'd say gotten my hands dirty in artificial intelligence and coding and the development process, I do make sure to be aided by specialists and people who can make sure that what we're doing is correct and what we're doing is following the right path.
Okay, so is this gone beyond the research and experimental stage? Is this being deployed today as a diagnostic tool in India?
So while we have conducted a few pilots, right now we are in the process of filing for FDA 510K approvals. So right now, once we are done with that, we are looking at bringing this not only to India, but across the world, to the United States and to India. And I'm a big dreamer. Maybe we can even bring this to UN, bring it to every rural district or every place that doesn't have access, every primary healthcare center across the world. There's so much potential with something like this. And there's real impact that can be made and real lives that can be saved. It just takes me back to our clinical trials and the pilots that we conducted, because not only we conducted them as well in some rural tribal environments and some tribal hospitals. So what we did was, when we conducted it there, it was a real shift in what I saw. It's when we realized, I specifically remember there was one patient and he was blind and he was detected with a cardiovascular abnormality. And when he was confirmed with it, it was a really different feeling when we were able to help real people who are in need of it. And I think that's really where the impact and potential lies, where we're creating real change, real difference to the people who need it most. And that's where seeing the impact with my own eyes and understanding the true potential this has to save lives and to help people across the globe, because healthcare and something like this, it transcends borders, it transcends various divisions. It's something that impacts us all, and it's something that everybody cares about extremely dearly. And I think that's why what we do is so important and why I feel so empowered with what we're building and how we're doing it.
Is the iPhone still the gold standard that you use to do data acquisition, or are there simpler things, or have you looked at different ways to capture that 7 seconds of heart beating? The condition of when you capture that, do they need to be at rest? Do they need to be on a treadmill? What's the overall activity associated with that? Is it a primary care physician, or is it being scanned by a nurse or by a family member? How do you go about using this tool to gather the right kind of data so you can analyze it? And how do you give the answer back to the person in a way that's meaningful to them?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think that's really important to address. So what we do is, the reason we use the iPhone for our screenings is for standardization. Because if we go to Android, the issue is every single Android phone uses a different type of microphone. It's not standardized across the platform because, while Samsung may use a microphone, another company may use a totally different one. And that's the main issue that we have there. And we want to make sure that in something like healthcare, we are maintaining standardization across the samples that we do collect and across the testing that we do. And that's why we are currently doing this only on iPhones. In regards to how this works, the workflow, I take you through how it would work if you were a patient and somebody was using the tool. So how it would be is, you go into a primary healthcare center, or you work with a nurse or maybe even a physician, and then you sit down. They do the screening by placing it on the fifth intercostal space, which is the apex of the heart, where you can hear it the loudest. The sound is recorded for 7 seconds in a quiet room, in a quiet setting. And from there, they would click the analyze button on the tool once they verify the sound and it is recorded on the phone. And from there, it gives a final reading, a final decision of potential heart health abnormality or a healthy heart sound. So it would go from there, and then whoever the physician or clinician or somebody in the primary healthcare center would get the readings from there of potential heart health abnormality or healthy heart sound, and they'd go from there in referring you to further examination or referring you to further investigation or saying, you know what, you're healthy, you can go ahead. Cool. Yep. So that's a little bit about how a workflow would work in use case of circadian AI.
I can see the challenges in your life, Siddharth. Here you are aspiring to be a college graduate. Probably you'll go on with advanced degrees. You won't stop learning. You'll continue to learn your entire life. And at the same time here, you're trying to actually start a business, run a business, and grow a business. Wow, look at all the challenges of those two things, let alone have a social life. Siddharth, what do you do for fun? Is there a fun part of your life too?
No, for sure. I love what I do. I love being part of circadian AI. It's something that I do love. I do enjoy it. I don't see it as work. I see it as something that I do for my self-fulfillment, something that completes me. And that's really what I do love. So I also do love to code. I love to develop and I love learning. So that's one thing that I do enjoy. I love going to college. I love the process of learning new things, learning new information. I think that's something that I do love overall. So that's what I love to do. I'm a big horological guy. I love watches. So that's one thing I do enjoy as well. So that's a little bit about me from personal side.
Some of the people in the frontier of the technology back when I was a very young man, we had people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and they're going to college and they said, enough of this college stuff. I'm getting out of college. I'm just going to go pursue my goals and things like that. Please stick with your education, formal education too. I have to tell you, it's just been a great joy to talk to you, to interact with you, to know someone who is at your age carrying a vision and carrying a plan forward that's based off of a variety of things, including AI technology. So many people are sitting there questioning the whole idea of what's this AI, what's it going to do, how's it going to affect my life, am I going to lose my job, all these different things they're concerned about. But you're doing something with it. You're trying to change the world. So I applaud you and what you're doing. So it's been a joy having you here on the Business of AI podcast. What's the encouraging words that you have for people of your age right now?
Yeah, I think what I'd love to say for somebody of my age or who has a dream is to go out there and build on your reality. And everything starts somewhere. What I love to say is that innovation is the heartbeat of progress. And that's one thing that I love to think about, because if you really dive into that saying, it's saying that innovation, every step forward, is what builds progress to society. It what creates change, and it's what drives us into the future. And I think that's really something that I would love to end with. And it's that go out there and build on your dream, build on your vision, because you never know where it can take you. And that's really what I'd love to end with. And I'd love to say to people of my own age, or even the next generation of inventors, innovators, and leaders.
Okay. I know that curiosity compounds. When you're curious, you get more curious and more curious, and you come up with ideas, you come up with solutions, and things start to change. It's been a great pleasure to have Siddharth Nandiala, the CEO of Circadian AI, join us today. Thank you, Siddharth, for being part of the Business of AI podcast today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Babalu, for the opportunity, and I had a great time.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or want to hear from a specific guest, contact us at gopi.com. That's G-O-P-I, gopi.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes.